So a few announcements before the homily. First, a reminder that right after our Mass, we have our weekly novena to St. Diffna. For all those who are fighting mental or emotional challenges, I hope you can stay for those prayers. We know those prayers are always very effective in any time, but especially right now during the pandemic, so I hope you can stay. After the novena, Blessed Sacrament will be exposed for adoration until 2:15. After the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, I'll return to the confessional. So if you have need of that sacrament, there's benediction this afternoon at 2:15 when adoration concludes. I want to remind you that our Bible study tonight is on hiatus for the next couple of weeks. We won't resume back until April 14th. But if you'd like to catch up or review again, all of our Bible study lessons are available on Grace Lily. I want to remind you or announce that this coming Monday, so of course this weekend is Palm Sunday, we start Holy Week. So this coming Monday, we do not have Mass here at the parish. I'm taking a vacation day and going to visit our friends at EWTN and spending some time with Bishop Baker, who is the bishop who ordained me. So I'm taking that Monday to be with him and to spend some time with our friends. I'll be back Monday evening, and then our regular schedule resumes. So we've been posting our Holy Week schedule on our electronic newsletter. How many of you have been checking that, right? So if you've been checking it, that's not news that Monday there's no Mass. I do encourage you to check that. Monday, no Mass. Tuesday, Wednesday, we have Mass. Thursday, no noon Mass. Thursday's Mass at 7 p.m. Of course, Good Friday, the service is at 3. No Easter Vigil at Our Lady Grace this year. And then Easter Sunday morning, we have Mass at 7, 9, 11, and 12:30. That's Easter. Okay, we've got to get ready for this. But Monday, no Mass again. I'll be away. I know you're going to be heartbroken, right? But I will look forward to seeing you when I come back. I'm sure I'll have some great wisdom from Bishop Baker to share with you. Some other matters, there are some twists and turns with our parish life. We talked about the outdoor masses. We talked about the ropes and so on. All this is in our electronic newsletter. I do encourage you to read that. We try to keep that newsletter as succinct as possible. So you can open it up on a Friday afternoon or over the weekend and know exactly what's happening in your parish. So a lot of other announcements. I refer you to a newsletter. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So here at Our Lady of Grace, we've been walking through the different parts of the Mass. And I hope you've been appreciating, just understanding in a more deep way, a more spiritual way, the different parts, the intricacies, the rites, the beauty of the Roman Catholic Mass. It's beautiful. The greatest gift given by God to the human family. That God will continue, by the power of the Holy Spirit, his sacrifice through the course of the ages, that we, his children, might share in that sacrifice and please God in Christ merit our salvation. Powerful. And of course, the Second Vatican Council reminded us that we have to, as the baptized, be actively engaged, actively participate, actually participate, be involved in this. You can't just come and sit down, listen to the minister, read the scriptures, and give his or her commentary, right? It's not what this is about. This isn't a Protestant service. What we do here is infinitely superior to any other form of worship within human history or within the human family. This is the Mass, the representation of the sacrifice of the Son of God for our salvation. It means we have to participate. So if we come here, we got a lot of things on our minds, we got this, that, so on. Tone it down, relax. As I've oftentimes said, you can put all your troubles outside the door. Trust me, when we're done, they'll be waiting for you, okay? You can let them go for a little while, give yourself some mental and some heartfelt rest to be with the Lord, and then you can re-pick up those issues, those struggles, and of course you'll be renewed by grace. All right, with that understanding, one thing I want to just mention about the offertory as we move along is the reason why, historically, the collection was taken up during the offertory. I said I kind of like during the pandemic that we're not doing it because it doesn't distract the faithful from the spiritual work. But one reason why that was usually done at that part of the Mass was because that was when your tithe was taken up, your 10%. So during the offertory, it wasn't about the money or your owner, your property or your ownership of things, but it was offering that 10% to God. It was saying, during the offertory, I give you my whole life, my livelihood, I give to you. So that's how it became eventually the passing of the plate. Incidentally, in the early church, people would actually literally bring up 10%. So if they were farmers, they brought 10% of their harvest. If they were in charge of the herd, they brought 10% of their flock. Amazing. Incidentally, I saw this while I was visiting Nigeria many years ago. During the offertory, they brought up all their stuff, right? Remember a little goat being brought up, you know? I thought, that goat has no idea what's about to happen, right? You know? But they brought it all up, 10%. Incidentally, that's why the priest washes his hands after the offertory. And now, of course, it's become a spiritual thing, wash away my sins and so on. But at one point, it was actually very practical because his hands would get dirty, taking vegetables and eggs and animals and so on, right? You offer 10%. So that was where the offertory collection came from, the spiritual point behind it. Maybe it's good we pause that so we can get back to the spiritual, and then if it ever does come back, we'll be ready to put it in its proper place, right? I give 10%, I give my life to you. Okay, that's the offertory and the lavabo, the washing of the priest's hands. Now, after I ask you to pray, and you ask God to accept your sacrifice for his praise and glory, for your salvation, the salvation of all the church, then the priest goes back to the altar and he offers the prayer over the gifts. Now that used to be called the secret. For the obvious reason, it was prayed secretly, quietly, right? I don't know why that was. There's no theological reason for that. It's good that it's said out loud now. This is a prayer that you are to share, right? It's not one of my private prayers as a priest. I pray the prayer over the gifts. Listen to this prayer, right? This prayer is all about sanctification, purification, cleansing. There's something. We're right about to begin the Eucharistic prayer, and it's the last prayer of the offertory, and Mother Church is just asking God to get us ready. So again, you'll hear this language about purification, preparation, reorient our hearts. And so you'll see that the Mother Church is leading us, guiding us right before the great Eucharistic prayer as this prayer is offered over the gifts. Now, the prayer over the gifts, as well as the opening collect, and then the prayer at the end of Mass, the prayer after communion, these are the parts of the Mass we call the proper. They're along with the scripture readings. The proper means they change. They are proper to today, proper to a feast day, and so on. They're proper, they change. That's different from the ordinary. How appropriate, we just call it the ordinary, right? The ordinary are the parts that don't change. Incidentally, the parts that don't change, Mother Church expects in the Latin Rite of the Roman Catholic Church that the faithful would know all the ordinary prayers of the Mass in Latin. Vatican II called for that. In fact, Vatican II calls me as your pastor to teach you that. So you see, I'm failing the teachings of Vatican II, not because we have a little Latin, but because we don't have enough, right? You're supposed to know all the ordinary in Latin. But the prayer of the gifts is one of the propers. It changes. And then right after the prayer of the gifts, the offertory ends. And then we start the preface. The preface of the Eucharistic prayer. No surprise here. The name fits. It's the preface. It's getting us ready. The offertory is concluded. Now we have to get ready for the Eucharistic prayer. We have this preface. The preface prayer is seasonal. You can listen to what the church is emphasizing. So if it's ordinary time, you'll hear a lot about the themes of ordinary time. During Lent, you hear the themes of Lent. It's very seasonal. The feast days, most of the big feast days, the solemnities, they have their own prefaces. That's the part where the church, right before the Eucharistic prayer, is making sure we understand the particular point, the emphases of the season we're in. But have you noticed how the preface started? And I love this. Regrettably, it's become so normalized that you forget. Right? So right after the prayer of the gifts, I say to you, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. Okay, awesome. Lift up your hearts. My goodness, it's almost charismatic, isn't it, huh? Lift up your hearts. I am commanding you as your priest, lift up your hearts. Get ready. Do you realize what we're about to do? And you tell me, we lift them up to the Lord. Do you? Do you lift up your hearts to the Lord? Do you allow the hope and the joy of the resurrection to fill your hearts? Or do you fall into the cesspool of this fallen world with the negativity, the entitlement, the self-pity? Do you fall into that? Because that's not lifting up your heart to the Lord. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. I say it is truly right and just. It is just and right to give him praise and thanks. It is just and right. Listen to these words. Mother Church is a good teacher. She chooses her words specifically. It is right and just. Justice, remember that virtue. To give another his due. To give God his due. God's due is worship. We are hardwired as human beings for worship. It is right and it is just that we give him thanks and praise. Sometimes people treat worship or thanks or praise as if it's a nice hobby. Well, it's good to do if, you know, that kind of fills you up or makes you feel better. It's kind of an optional thing. No, 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 no. It's not an optional thing, folks. No. If we want to live a truly human life, fulfill our human vocation, the vocation we have as the children of God, then we must worship God. We are obliged to give him thanks and praise. It is just and right. And of course, after that introductory dialogue, and that's what the church calls it, right? We have a dialogue right before we start the Eucharistic prayer, right? And then right after that, we have the preface prayer itself. And then how does the preface prayer start? This will warm the heart. We invoke the angels, right? Because they're getting ready. All the angels, they're waiting. They're on the sidelines, right? We're about to get started. Quiet down, guys. Get ready. Here it comes, right? And we call all the angels. And sometimes, depending on the preface, we call on all the saints. Because they know what's about to happen, even if we are clueless. They're attentive, even if though we're distracted. They're all getting ready. And we call upon the saints. Because when we offer this Eucharistic prayer, the saints surround the altar area. Your guardian angels are the happiest they will ever be when they are here with you at Mass during this Eucharistic prayer. In order to show our homage, after the preface and the holy, 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 invoking all the angels. You know, the holy, holy, that's actually the song the angels sing before the throne of God. And we echo that on earth. What they sing forever in heaven. And then after that, in order to show our homage, that we understand how sacred this Eucharistic prayer is, we kneel. We kneel during the Eucharistic prayer. And during the words of consecration, have you noticed? Getting a little ahead of myself here, but I'll give you a secret. During the Eucharistic prayer, during the words of consecration, have you noticed that even your priest bows when the very words are said? Why? We all kneel, the baptized. All humanity kneels. The angels kneel because the only one who stands before the Father during that moment of sacrifice is his Son. I stand there in persona Christi, simply holding the office. And even as I hold the office of Christ at that moment, even myself, Jeff Kirby, bruised, broken, a sinner, I kneel, I bow before my priesthood, before the priesthood of Jesus Christ, by which this sacrifice will be offered. Realize, dear friends, what we get to be a part of as members of the baptized, the sacrifice to which we are called to participate. So tomorrow's the Annunciation. So we're going to have to focus on the Annunciation. Right? Gabriel and Our Lady deserve it. Then we start Holy Week. Then we're off on Easter week. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to wrap it up and stop the series, okay? No. No. Okay? Like it or not, folks, we're going to stretch our series into the Easter season. So after Easter week, for daily Mass, we're going to continue to walk through the Mass. And get this. For the Easter season, we're going to walk step by step through the first Eucharistic prayer. That's the one that we pray here at Our Lady of Grace. It's the oldest. We're going to walk through. And if you think you have seen beauty and power so far, wait until you hear the power and the depth of what is contained in the Eucharistic prayer. Things are going to just blow your mind and knock your socks off, right? Now I'm going to be able and be with you to walk through this, to understand deeply, more deeply, what we have in this beautiful sacrifice of the Mass. So today we talked about the end of the offertory and the preface. After Easter week, we're going to pick up the beginning of the great Eucharistic prayer.